friend of the pod.
Peter Lawrie almost set me back 2 years in a 1 15-minute lesson. That's all I want to say about that.
He doesn't take advice very well, Gary.
Peter couldn't teach a dog how to bark.
I can vouch for that.
OTB Sports Golf Weekly with Now TV, live every Thursday afternoon on OTB Sports Radio. Tune in 24/7 on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Delighted to say John's on the line now. Kieran Donaghy, morning to you.
Morning, Adrian. How are you? Morning, all.
Flying it, thanks. Very excited for the weekend that's ahead and the next few weeks, indeed. What's your take on all of that? We've just been discussing the Fitzmaurice's comments in the Examiner this morning about the impact of the conditions and how the key positions now are goalkeeper, man markers and free takers and teams that don't have as deep pockets maybe as teams like the Dubs or Kerry to a degree. They are the key positions and teams can't afford to lose those players.
Yeah, no, I think Jim McGuinness made the point as well on Sky the other night about the importance of possessions, that there isn't so many turnovers in games anymore, Adrian. So each possession you have from the kick-out is kind of a chance to set up an attack in a way. I know teams are still going long, but they're going long to overloads and they're going long to situations where they might have a 3-on-2 or 4-on-3. That's what they're trying to set up in a way. So, look, It is a key part of the game. And look, conditions, and I agree with Owen in many ways, the good pitches are going to be in decent shape, but you're still, the ground is that bit heavier. Now, Croke Park is probably the exception, but the ball, when it's really wet in Croke Park and a bad, wet, windy night, it's a hard place to play the way the ball slicks off that surface. And, you know, we've all seen Croke Park on a really wet night, the ball nearly turns into a bar of soap at times, so... It may have issues on games depending on who starts with the breeze or against the breeze, or you know it is going to play a factor. There's no doubt about it. If a team can start a game and get a huge momentum and get a big lead, if they're playing with a breeze and they can pin a team in and they can put presses on the kick out, you know they can give themselves a serious platform to go put up a big score in the first half and then try and hold out in the second by tweaking the way you play your game. So look, it is going to have a factor. It is going to be a factor.
It's mad to think that one of Donegal or Tyrone are going to be gone after the weekend, isn't it? I was astonished to look up and see that Tyrone are only sixth favourites at 20-1 to win the All-Ireland. Is that unbelievable value, or have I just got carried away on the Conor McKenna train that there's something about this Tyrone team?
No, there is something about them. I think that might be a bit big on prices, but... It is where they are, really. You know, I think McShane, when he does come back in next year, and if they can keep McKenna going well, and if they can bring through young Darragh Canavan onto the team, Peter Hart is always going to do his thing, and so is Matty Donnelly. So they, you know, and you've Niall Sludden, who started and got taken off at half time in the game, the last game, which would be a bit of a worry, but is on his day. A handful coming off the centre forward line. You've Conor Myler as well. So they have the forwards. They're probably slightly light on midfield without Cullum Kavanagh gone. Hansey and Burns are good at what they do, but they're not your out-and-out midfielder that's going to take the game. Frank Burns can do a bit of everything. He's a good baller. He goes back and helps. I think both of them are actually playing the Cullum Kavanagh mould, himself and Hansey. I know Hansey might be out now for the weekend, but they've big Ben McDonald as well to come in, and he's a big handful as well, big, strong and athletic player. And possibly looking like going with maybe him and a smaller, more mobile Frank Burns in there with him, that allows you to keep Matty Donnelly in the half forward line. So look, they have a squad. You know, their backs are getting there as well. They're well anchored by Ronan McNamee at fullback, who's got a few all stars. So you know, they are a very exciting prospect. You throw McShane into that now, and I'd be right on that platform with you, Adrian, and I think they'd have a good chance. But without him, I think you're going to see Donegal possibly the weekend. Eamon O'Donoghue had a great article in the Times yesterday, just stating the importance of Conor McKenna in these two games. He's scored a direct assisted in 5-10 out of the 5-27, so it just, his importance can't be understated at all. He prefers to play at 11. Wiedemann, I talked to him during the week. He prefers 11. That's his spot. That's where he likes to be. He's also a big option, as Eamon rightly pointed out in that article from Kickouts. He said that Tyrone targeted him 11 times against Donegal, and he came away with the ball 10 of those times, as in their team came away. So that's a very good stat if you're going long to centre-forward and coming away with 90% of the possession. They're two slightly different positions. He made the point about possibly would Tyrone look at starting him inside. I wouldn't, because I think what Tyrone has to do with, or I think what Donegal has to do with Conor McKenna the next day is just go, and he'd be well used to this from the Aussie rules, but just go tag him. Just send somebody on him. Maybe if he was in a full forward, McGee would love that challenge. Neil McGee, he would go out and go toe-to-toe with him and just kind of traipse around after him and try and keep him out of the game. Another guy they have is Steve McMenamin. He's sticky, he's strong. He doesn't mind getting in people's face. He'll try and bring that side. He's unselfish enough to sacrifice his own game, as he knows how important that key matchup is. You want to keep your own Bon Gallaghers and Ryan McHughes free on the wings. You don't want to be putting them necessarily on a McHugh or on a McKenna, unless you went with the idea of maybe sticking a Ryan McHugh on him early on and telling Ryan McHugh, bomb for the first 10 minutes and see if we can drag McKenna 60 or 70 yards away from goal, because in front of goal he's been sensational so far.
And on that, Kieran, then, because like, I know that I watched that piece that you did with him, and you were talking about the physicality of the man, like, and obviously playing at 11 or maybe playing a bit deeper in towards goal is maybe where he's been in the main so far. But, and it's very early days, really, obviously, in his intercounty career. But is there an old switcheroo here from Tyrone at some point that they, if the game's getting away from them a bit, they draw him out a bit, like maybe even put him in alongside Murphy and try and break the game up that way? Or is that not something that would be in his brief just yet as he gets reused to the game again?
No, I think, to be honest, on what I've seen in the two games, I think he's brief as anything you want it to be. I think he's a top-class footballer. He's a top-class athlete, and he's going to bring on Tyrone an awful lot. I think where he's playing is the spot for him, I'll be honest. I think that centre-forward roaming around the place, trying to drift in the odd time, you know, keeping... If you drift in from centre-forward, Adrian, into full-forward, and you're as good as he is, and you have a centre-back in there who's not overly comfortable for a few minutes, that's where you can cause a bit of hassle, which is what he did really well against Mayo. But he's passing, he's assists off of marks, off of kick passes, is really good. So I think if it's his favourite position, and he's only playing the game a few weeks since he came back, I just think you leave him at 11. You don't try and trick around with him too much going into a big knockout game. You put him out in the middle of the field, or you throw him full forward, and the first 15 or 20 minutes don't go well, you're giving his man momentum, you're giving the opposition momentum, you bring him back to centre-forward and trying to recover, and it doesn't work for him. You may be kind of, you know, maybe looked at, maybe why didn't you just leave him with what he was so effective at? But look, yeah. Mickey Hart will know well, Adrian, that this is not going to be Mayo and Castlebar in a league game, and they know it's not going to be, you know, It's going to be different gravy on Sunday afternoon, and they'll be coming for Conor McKenna, because they have to, and he'll have to get used to the white heat of championship, being targeted, being verbally targeted, and to hold his head, because, you know, a straight red here or something silly for any player could cost them their season. So it's he's going to get seriously targeted, and that's going to be something that I presume he'd be used to all that. I know the Aussies are desperate trash talkers. They're unbelievable at it, and they'll go all day at it. I noticed that the first time I played against them in 2006. Their verbal game is very strong. So he would have got a lot of that, and he made it right to the top of the game over there. So I think he'd be used to all that, but it's just the physical, playing for his own people again. Can you keep the emotions in check? All of that stuff, because they are going to come for him, because they have to.
It was a pretty good game between the sides last year. It was 116 to 15 points. Donegal obviously put up big scores in the Super 8s, and Tyrone have unleashed a bit more of an expansive style of play last weekend. Is that all pointless this weekend? Does it go back to a cagey Ulster affair, and how do you see the game going?
I do. A small bit of me sees it going back to just being a real dogfight the weekend, because it's what it's going to be. It's do or die. It's as you rightly said at the start of the show, we're going to have no Donegal or no Tyrone after the first round, so that's unthinkable at times. So this game is going to be fraught with tension. guys are going to be right to the peak of all their senses about how to try and get over and try and win a game. And look, a break of a ball, a call. I think it's a very tight game. I think the fact that Donegal won't have 23 or 4,000 in Ballybuffet roaring them on the weekend will level it up a bit. So Tyrone are getting a break from that point of view. So look, it's really exciting to look forward to.
You're still tipping Donegal by the sounds of things?
I am. I'm still tipping Donegal just to get over the line. I think they have the more rounded team. I think they're more sure about themselves than where they are. I think, you know, Jamie Brennan and Oisin Gallen and Michael Murphy is a full forward line, but Murphy doing a bit of everything as he always does for Donegal is extremely strong. Pat Armagan is a big addition on the wing. You're solid in the middle of the field and you've got a good access at the back as well. You've Owen Bourne, Ryan McHugh there, Darrow O'Boyle, Neil McGee. Steve McMenamin in the corner. They have a nice squad, and they've Patton in goals. And look, the two goalies are that's another thing to look out for the weekend. If we want to look to back up Eamon Fitzmaurice's column, or you want to look at what Jim McGuinness was saying on Sky the other night, it's, you know, kickouts and possession, accurate kickouts, both short and long, will have a huge bearing in this game. He actually suggested that Donegal could possibly crack Morgan if they get at him, if they push up on him. We played against Patton. He was with the Guards last year in the Sigerson Cup game, and we had a full court pressing him and rattled him a small bit in that. They were playing against the breeze, and it was a big breeze, and he was trying to go long, and we kind of put a bit of a press on him. So, look, it depends on, you know, Tyrone adapted a small bit against Mayo. They pushed up at times that we haven't seen in a long time from the Tyrone team. I think they did it when Mayo were trying to come out against the breeze. They really pushed up in them man for man, which is something we haven't seen from Tyrone. So tactics are going to be fascinating. The water breaks are going to be fascinating, how you can change things up. And I just think that white heat of championship that we've been missing for so long is going to bring everybody to the edge of their seats on Sunday and Saturday. Saturday and Sunday.
It's obviously the big game of the weekend, but there are so many other games to chat about as well. And definitely the one that's probably the second most exciting is Cavan against Monaghan at the weekend as well. And I guess everybody's tipping Monaghan for this one, despite the fact that Cavan really did a number on them last year. And I wonder, Kieran, if one of the factors around Monaghan this year is that as a winter footballer, Conor McManus has proven every single league campaign that he is brilliant in these conditions.
Yeah, I think look, McManus is brilliant in any conditions, really. McManus is just a great footballer and just an accurate player, and he's strong and he's tough and he'll keep going. You can knock him as many times as you want. He's going to keep coming back. He'll keep popping him over the bar. He's lethal in front of goal. He's a ball winner. He's their emotional leader. But again, Monaghan, slight disadvantage. You know, in Clonus, no 20 or 30,000 mad fans, that makes a difference. You know, it's a fact of sport where places are hard to go. I think you're seeing it both in the bubble in the NBA, you had some crazy results, crazy comebacks. That probably wouldn't happen if that'd be harder to happen if you had the momentum factor with the crowd. So, yeah, look, McManus is serious. But, you know, Kevin, I tipped Kevin in this game last year in Breffni, and, you know, I'm not going as far to tip them again, but they have no pressure on them. It's a complete free shot for them to have a go off of Cavan. They've scored very well in the league. They scored over 21 points in three games. They scored over 17 points in another three games. And their first game was a disaster where Armagh gave them a tanking. So defence is their issue. Will they have been working on that, you know, hugely over the last few weeks? I think definitely their video meetings would have been fun over the last few nights about how to tighten that up, because that is a serious issue. But if they do tighten that up, we have a storm coming in, bad conditions coming in on Saturday night. It makes it a bit tighter. It's a bit of an equaliser. And they've got players, you know, they've got a young halfback there, Kieran Brady. I was talking to you in the Boar's Head, and he said he's absolutely flying on form, chipping in with scores every game. He's expecting two or three from him the weekend. Obviously, last year, Garrod McKernan was huge. You know, stats in the middle of the field. I think if Monaghan are to really go for this in a do-or-die game, you know, maybe they could look at getting him in at 14 early on, planking a few balls in the top of him, see if they could get an early goal, see if they could put the pressure on Monaghan, because as I said, there is no pressure on Cavan in this game. Monaghan have been waiting for this for 18 or 19 months to get a crack back at Cavan for a bit of payback for last year. So if this thing is tight down the stretch, it'll be Monaghan that will feel the pressure. It's Monaghan that are supposed to go through this tie. And if they can get McKernan inside and get a bit of momentum off of that, you know, Martin Riley was like Ryan Giggs last year. He's a left leg like a wand, and he was fantastic the way he was spraying the ball around the place. He has lost a small bit of his pace that he had when he was a youngster, but like his passing ability on the outside of the left boot. Obviously, McVitie is a big loss. I think he's out in Australia. But the young guy from Crosser Lock, James Smith, he was really good in the replay and the Cavan County final. So he's one for the future, and he's one that will have to kind of have a big game and announce himself on the big stage on Saturday. But it's going to be tense. It's going to be tight. We've got some great players on show. Looking forward to getting stuck into it with Peter and Jim McGuinness on Saturday morning and seeing where we're going with it.
Yeah, I know you're saying you're not tipping Cavan, but it all sounds like that's exactly what you're doing.
I'm kind of, it's either going to be that tight game where Monaghan have a chance, or it's going to be Monaghan with posters of Cavan players on their wall for the last 18 months, and they just can't wait to get a hold of them. And Monaghan could win by 8 or 9. So, look, Cavan got relegated. They'll be a bit down the dumps. But that's why that puts it back to the league, and where they are next year absolutely has no bearings come 1:15 on Saturday. That ball is going to be thrown in, and you've two local rivals that are going to go toe-to-toe. And if Cavan can stick in there for long enough, they may have a sneaky chance.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy the games. Catch up with you next week.
No bother.
Thanks a million, Kieran Donnelly on the line there. And Kieran is very heavily involved. You can just check out his social channels and indeed our own, because we'll give you a push to this. He's raising funds for his home basketball club. You'll all know that he's very involved in that game. And the Garvey's Tralee Warriors, you can check out his social handles for details on how exactly to get involved in that.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Now we're going to move to our GA quick pick predictions for the weekend. This is where we all get knee deep in ultimately setting a plan to make fools of ourselves, I think, a little bit down the track. But regardless, this weekend actually might be kind of straightforward. So, yeah, myself, Owen, and Tommy, who I think has joined us on the line, and Will O'Callaghan as well, who sent through his predictions, are going to put a neck on the block.
And get morning, lads.
Come on, weekends. Tommy, how are you getting on?
Good. Fair play this morning. Good show.
Oh, yeah. We're not ready for our post-production meeting just yet, Tommy. And we're also not ready for another one of your sort of Nations League style.
Let's not talk about last week.
Yeah. We've got a bit of an order here. So there's not a lot of debate about a lot of these games. And we begin with the football. I think we can take a look at some of these on screen. Leitrim Mayo, unanimous. Louth London, unanimous. As in... if it needs saying, Mayo and Longford, sorry. Mayo, Louth, Longford, and it's Longford, obviously, everybody's going for. Offaly, Carlow, everybody's in the Offaly boat there. Wexford, Wicklow, everybody's in the Wicklow boat. I think there might have been some, might be some slight dispute in that. Onwards then, Derry, Armagh, everybody is in the Armagh camp. Monaghan Cavan is an interesting one. Kieran Donnelly was going for Cavan earlier on. We've all gone for Monaghan. And then we've Waterford Limerick. Everybody's in Limerick. And Tip Clare. Everybody's in Clare, barring Will, who's gone for Tip, but he's not here to defend himself. So we don't need too long talking about that. Pretty straightforward, Tommy. That's no great disagreements, no great rancor.
Yeah, you'd imagine it's straightforward looking at how similar all our picks are at the weekend. Obviously, Monaghan Cavan is going to be a good battle. It's going to be tough. It's easy to go for Monaghan. The McManus factor. Cavan have been relegated. It's a tough few months for them. They're missing a couple of players. Relegated. But as Devante said, Cavan absolutely embarrassed Monaghan in the corresponding fixture last year in the championship. So Monaghan are looking for revenge. So it's probably no surprise that we're all picking Monaghan. I can half understand why Will O'Callaghan has gone for Tipperary, and that's probably the one I'm most worried about at the weekend. I've gone for Clare. I'm an adopted Clare man, as you well know, over the last couple of months. So, I could not back Clare this weekend. But the Quinlivan factor is a massive one for Tipperary, who was meant to be away this year, travelling. Obviously, that was put to a halt. David Power called him back up and he's joined the team. If Tip get a bit of a run, we know how much quality they have. But Clare were on the brink of Division 1 football this year. And I'm just going for Clare. I think you're probably thinking the same, Owen, are you?
There's going to be at least two surprises this weekend. It's just very hard to know where they're going to come. So I think that's why we've all gone for the favourites here. And putting them out in this sort of graphic will make us look very foolish come Monday morning, because there is going to be one of those consensuses that are going to be wrong. And you look at the Leinster Championship, which has come up with a couple of surprising results down through the years, outside of the obvious Dublin ever getting beaten. But outside of any game involving Dublin, we've tended to get weird results in Leinster. We've seen from other sports over the last couple of months that weird results are happening. So you can imagine that it's just going to be hammered home even more this year in Leinster. And take your pick, really, of the Leinster games as to which is the most likely to have a surprise. Like, you could, by reflex, almost say that Wicklow will be the most likely to get beaten. But then again, they have the most recent record of beating their opposition this weekend in beating Wexford last weekend. So that was a big game for Wicklow as well. This wasn't like the Donegal-Tyrone-type shadow boxing. This was a game where Wicklow wanted to win because they wanted to get promoted. You didn't have that in Donegal against Tyrone. So that's why I've gone for them. And I've resisted the fact that there might be a surprise. And Offaly-Carlow then, could that be the one that has a surprise? And again, I've stuck to the favourites here, but I assume they're favourites, because of the fact that Carlow have been so poor, and Offaly under Mahon have looked really solid and looked like they might be the ones to cause a bit of an upset later in the Leinster Championship. So that one is stuck for me. And then the one that actually might be the one which we're all kind of doing a U-turn on come Monday is Louth against Longford, which a week ago you thought to yourself, there's no hope of Longford getting beaten here. But right at the end of their relegation campaign, Louth landed a sting in getting a win in their final week of the league. And you just wonder, could we all be looking a little bit foolish on that front? I just think in Leinster, something can always grow up, but there are cases to be made for all of the favourites there. And we haven't just willy-nilly put out the favourites. I think Leitrim against Mayo, I think that could be a quicker score for Mayo in that game, because it just has to be. They have to hit the ground running. And with regards to the other ones, like you said, you can see why Will has gone for Tip. I think that they are back after a poor year last year. They've got a couple of players back. Quinlivan, obviously, the leader in that pack, they're back. And I think it could be one of the best games of the weekend. But I still think Clare should have a little bit too much for them. They've been brilliant all year as well.
Yeah, just quickly on that. Like, Longford obviously scuppered the league by refusing to go down to Cork and travel. We didn't get a look at them that week. And Down were already up. So Louth had a brutal league campaign. Yeah. But they've got some good footballers there. And maybe that's all they needed was one win. So I can kind of see where you come from there. I think Wicklow and Wexford are fairly evenly matched. In terms of the odds anyway, but we've got two young managers. We've got Davy Burke and we've got Shane Roach, who's been thrown into the deep end. So I'm with you. I'm going for Wicklow on that one as well. Adrian, I don't know if it's worth having any debate about anything else there, but that's really it.
Let's leave a bit of time. Are we coming back to Donegal-Tyrone, or are we going straight into the Hurling?
Well, we can talk about it.
You guys are going against Donegal, or you guys are going against Kieran Donaghy as well, from his prediction earlier on. Did that sway you at all?
Close.
There's a case, isn't there? Like, I've gone for Tyrone, yourself and Will have gone for Donegal, and there's a case for either, and we might all look like idiots or two of us going to look like idiots anyway after Sunday. But I've gone for Tyrone on the basis of a couple of good games under their belt. I've gone for them on the basis that they gave away a load of frees against Donegal, and I think in the game a couple of weeks ago, and I think that it was probably the difference in the end, and it was probably due to a bit of rust that might be out of the system now. Having listened to Kieran, I'm probably slightly less hot on them than I was before I began. It's mainly a question of whether they can keep a lid. Can they get parity in their own defence? Because I think that obviously up front, they have a big job they can do. And as I said earlier on, like 20 to win the All-Ireland is definitely worth a couple of quid. 20 to 1.
It could be, Adrian. Owen, I've been charmed by the Conor McKenna factor, and maybe I've been blinded by the Conor McKenna factor. We all know that Tyrone have never won an All-Ireland in a knockout championship. They've strolled through it when they've had the back door, and that's always stood to them. I just think that Tyrone have something up their sleeve this weekend. I think we're due a favourite getting knocked out early, and it would just be massive for the championship if Donegal were were rattled. I'm a big fan of this Donegal team. I just had an inkling that Tyrone could do something this weekend.
The things that are up there, Steve, have all been revealed in the last couple of weeks, would be my issue, that Tyrone seems to have shown quite a bit over the last little while. Of course, there's a whole other layer of intensity to get to, but personnel-wise, they've been putting out good teams, unlike Donegal, who were nice and rested after last week. And there's talk about this Tyrone forward line potentially being the best in the country. There won't even be the best forward line on the pitch this weekend. Like, even with McShane back next year, there is still a case to be made that Donegal's forwards are possibly even better than Tyrone's forwards. You might need to push Michael Murphy in there to make that case bulletproof, but I still think elsewhere in the forwards, between the likes of Brennan, Thompson, they've got an absolute quality all around the forward line. And I think that if it comes down to that, then it is a more open game than we expect. I think Donegal will win. If it's a more cagey game than we expect, I also think Donegal have the advantage on that front as well. And for me, there was no debate on this.
The openness versus caginess right across the board in every single game for the championship, I think, is going to be a factor as to how these teams go about it, given that it's total jeopardy now in the way that it wasn't before. Like, teams' ability to be pragmatic can no longer be a thing, because it's winner takes all. And we could end up with penalty shootouts and all sorts of great stuff. Anything else to say on the football, Tommy?
No, let's move on, Adrian.
Yeah, hurling. So we've all gone for Limerick to be Tip. We've all gone for, I don't know if I should say that flippantly. That's probably one of the tougher games. Cork to beat Waterford, Kilkenny to beat Dublin, and the three of you have gone for Wexford to beat Galway, and I'm going for Galway. I'm going for it on the basis that, like, there obviously nothing between these two teams in Leinster last year. Wexford obviously kick on from there, go on to win Leinster, lost out to Tip in the All-Ireland semi-final, which there was no shame in at all, and that. But I suppose the argument that I make is that could have easily been Galway. It was so tight in Leinster, they ultimately got caught by Dublin, and I know that I'm maybe brushing over that in a way that you could lean on a bit heavier, but I think that this format will also suit a county like Galway. Neither county have a huge amount to shout about from a club point of view going into the game. There's an unbelievable case to be made for Wexford as well. Dahi Burke being a doubt is the one concern, obviously, that's make me lean a little bit away from them, but Joe's back, he's injury free, and there won't be much between them, but I'm leaning for Galway. You lads are all going for Wexford.
Yeah, you could look like a very smart man after the weekend, Adrian. Galway could obviously physically bully this Wexford team, and there's a chance for that, but I really like what David Fitzgerald is doing down there, and yeah, I just think Wexford are a wild card this year in the championship.
I also like the way Wexford have been, like, as you say, wild card. That's how they've been painted. It's definitely been painted as a Tipperary, Limerick, Kilkenny championship. And if there's one man to ratchet up a little bit of the siege mentality to not be included in the podium, in the front runners, it'll be Davy Fitzgerald. And I think they came so close last year. And they should have beaten the All-Ireland champions. It's as simple as that. And they didn't. Mm. And they've still got a good age profile. They're all back this year. This is going to be a good summer for Wexford if they can edge out a big game like they can this weekend. And this is the sort of game that can be a launchpad for an entire season for Wexford as well. One big win against Galway. That being said, like, it does have the safety net that the football doesn't have in the backdoor system, that perhaps trying to make season-wide predictions after one weekend isn't as wise as it obviously will be in the football. And I think that whoever loses this weekend as well are probably going to be a team that Clare, for example, will not want to get in the backdoor.
That it?
100%. Yeah, well, look, we've all gone for Limerick. Limerick were beaten three times last year in the Munster Championship. Tip bet them once. Like, Limerick looked great, but we just don't know what Tipperary are going to bring this year.
Yeah, that's definitely a 50-50 one, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Coming back into that. Fair play, lads.
Cheers, lads.
Come on. Thanks, Tommy. We'll review all that next week and keep a rolling table, I think, as we work through the season as to how myself, Owen, Tommy and Will are going to get on.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.